How are you guys doing this morning? We have a fantastic campus ministry. We do. It's exciting to be here. If you're visiting with us, welcome. I'm glad you're here this morning. I have a few announcements here before we jump in. Esther Marie Roca was born this morning. At 6 pounds, 11.5 ounces, and 19 inches. Mom and baby are doing well. I want to announce also, is Kishana McGarvin here? Kishana is a sister from Kingston, Jamaica. She's placing membership here to Atlanta Church of Christ. Welcome. It's great to have you here with us. She's part of our singles ministry, so lots of dates going on here. And then also, I just want to remind us that mission is still going. I know there's a lot of car washes, there's a lot of, yard sale and things like that going on. And so let's continue to do that. Next week, we'll be taking our last missions. And so let's do that throughout this week. We've been talking about godly generations, multi-generational. And this morning I want to talk about creating a godly, multi-generational church in an ungodly time. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 here. And I would like to lead us in a word of prayer before we jump in. Let's pray. Oh, Father, the God in heaven, we come before you. God, knowing who you are and knowing who we are. Father, thank you so much that you listen to us. Thank you so much that you are here with us this morning. God, I know it's not an accident that we're here this morning. As we sing songs to you, as we pray to you, as we listen to your word. God, I pray that you would prick our hearts, that you would draw us near to you. Father, we need you. Come be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2 here. We start in verse 36. Peter is preaching the first sermon on the day of Pentecost here. It's 36. It says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all whom are far off, for all whom our Lord our God will call. With many words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Has there ever been a generation that's not corrupt? Has there ever been a generation that don't need to be saved? Has there ever been a generation that don't need God? And here, Peter is saying, save yourself from this corrupt generation. It is up to us. Save yourself. To remove yourself from this corrupt generation. So how are we going to create this godly generation? What is it that we got to do to create godly generation in such an ungodly time? You know, there's two things I want us to get out here this morning. To think about and to let it soak in. You know, I think, you know, if we don't get this right, we will become children. Like the old, it says, In Judges, it says, another generation grew up who neither know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. See, if we don't do it right, the next generation will not know God or what he has done for us. So this morning, we have to really save ourselves, but then go beyond that. We need to understand other generations. We need to understand other generations. And not understand, but to accept other generation here. But first, My first point here is a godly generation starts with you. This is the most important one. Answer Jesus is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandments greater than these. It is imperative that we are connected to God. It is imperative that we love God. In order to create a generation that is godly, it starts with us this morning. You know, it will not happen unless you're connected to God. You will not understand what is happening if you're not connected to the correct source. Now, I know a lot of us have cell phone, and we got every night, we plug it in, right? We're hoping it will charge. You don't take your cell phone and plug into a tree. You don't take your cell phone and plug it to, you know, the carpet. You plug it to the wall, to the electricity, because that's where the power source is at. And I think we have to plug our spirituality into the right source, which is God. You know, you will grow weary when your power source is getting low. I think we got to check our spiritual battery. Do we have that one bar? Are we full or are we just down to one bar? We got to plug to the right source here. You know, and let me just break it down. What does it mean to be connected with God? You know, we say connect with God, connect with God. You got to connect with God. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, connected to God? You know, sometimes we go to these seminars and, you know, we're thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to go and learn how to be more spiritual. And then all you get was read your Bible and pray. And you're like, man, I drove all the way to St. Louis to learn that. I spent all this money and time and I go up there and they say, all you need to read your Bible and pray. And you know, here's something that I want us to really think about as we connect to God. Number one is reading our Bible and studying it consistently. It's not about reading other things that talks about the Bible. Read the Bible. You know, I think sometimes we read these stuff that talks about the Bible, but we don't actually read the Bible. We have to read the Bible. Those things are good stuff, but you got to still read the Bible. Be grounded in the Word. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we're in the ministry here for about a year and a half, and I'm thinking, man, it's going to be great. I'm going to spend my, you know, time reading my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go on prayer walk. I'm going to do all these things, get close to God. But, you know, being in the ministry is the hardest thing to connect with God.
Come on, bro.
Because as soon as I wake up, my phone is ringing. I'm like, I got to return these calls. I got things I got to do. And the first thing to go is my time with God.
Come on, bro.
What am I going to do with that? I need to spend some time reading my Bible. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We all know that. You know, training in righteousness. Are you training? Are you in training? You know, it takes consistency to build anything. You guys know that, right? You don't work out and then you miss a month and start working out again. You know, you just get sore. You got to be consistent and then you will see the result. Same thing. Read your Bible. Study it. Meditate. Let it sink into you and you will see the result. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Let God's words train us. Number two is praying, talking to God. He wants to hear you. Kids and parents, He wants to hear you. You need to pray more than you think. I think sometimes we do a lot of thinking and less praying. We got to think more than we pray. The Bible says, pray continually. Are you praying continually? Think less, pray more. Having private victories over sin, changing characters, making changes, repenting. You know, I talked to my wife yesterday. I'm saying, you know, if we could, 80% of our challenge is being aware of ourselves. If we are just aware of ourselves and our sinful nature, How far can we go? But we are not. You know, have you settled? If you can't remember the last time you had a victory, so entangled in sin, you don't know where to start. You know, let me confess to you guys. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but this is me. I get involved in sin. And so I'm thinking in my mind, well, I'm already in sin. So I might as well just keep going. And so I get into another sin, and I'm like, well, I'm already there. So I might as well keep going. And I get all entangled in this sin, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. Well, where am I at? I don't know if that's you, but I know that's me. I'm just confessing to you about my craziness, you know? And that's me. You know, don't cling to a mistake just because you spent a long time making it. Don't cling to a mistake because you take a long time to make it. Having private victories. Go to God. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to take away your guilt and your shame. He wants to set you free. Don't stay burdened by your sin. Take baby steps, one foot in front of the other, and soon you will see the miles you have walked. Go to God. Have private victories. You know what it is between, it's just when you, Satan, and God. When you're tempted, and it's just you, Satan, and God. Are you going to be victorious? Let's be victorious, one step at a time. Private victories. Fourthly here, you know, having fellowships. You know, outside of church. It's great that you're here, but let's have fellowship outside of church during the week. Call one another. Get together and pray. Confess. Let's get our fellowship going. And lastly, listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, be in step with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never say anything contrary to the Bible. You know, so what that means, you need to know your Bible in order to know if it's the Holy Spirit talking to you or not. It might be your own spirit talking to you. That's me half of the time. It's me telling myself what to do. So now, you know, you got to know the Bible in order to decipher what spirit is talking to you. And these are just very basic, just how to connect with God. You know, it starts with us. It starts with you this morning. You know, let me say this to all of you. And it might be shocking, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop sharing your faith. Stop sharing your faith. Just stop. But I want you to connect with God. Because when you connect with God, the minute you connect with God, you're going to share your faith. You know, I think sometimes we're working from the outside in. I'm going to share my faith so that I can be spiritual. Instead of, I need to be spiritual so I can share my faith. You know, dude, we're working the wrong way in. And the truth is, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. It gives you that false sense of security. You know, I must be doing good because I'm sharing my faith. I'm bringing people to church. I'm doing this and doing that. I'm not even connected to God. You see, we got to work from the inside out. Get close to God. Listen. You know, I've done that. There was a time where I was challenged to share with 75 people a day. 75 people. I shared with anything that breathed, pretty much. And I was like, I was sharing. I didn't know people were coming to church. They, hey, this guy named John shared. I'm like, did I? I don't know you. And, you know, it was a number thing. And we figure, okay, we have 100 study. At least 40 people become disciples. And of those 40, maybe 20 will be faithful. We start playing this game. And it became a method. It's not faith anymore. It became a method. But the truth is, it did not last. Soon people were gone. And I think we got to remember baptism is the beginning and not the end. I think sometimes we work so hard to get to the beginning. And we think it's the end. Baptism is the beginning, not the end. You know, your generation and the next generation are dependent on your connection with God. Let's decide to connect with God. Don't walk out of here through those doors this morning and not decide that I'm going to get connected with God. I need to get connected with God in order to have a godly generation. Number two here is fight to understand and accept each generation. You know, Proverbs here, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. The question here is, are you trusting in God or are you leaning on your own understanding? Are you submitting or are you digging your heels in? You know, the world does not want to hear, listen, or be open to any other generation than their own. You know, but we are God's people. We are not of this world. And frankly, we cannot afford to be like the world. The stake is too high. You know, the older generation, the next generation will rise or fall depending on how you're able to reach over the gap in your generational thinking and action. And the younger generation, are you willing to learn and accept deep truths about God and life from older people? You know, this first year, first and a half years in the ministry here, you know, we've been learning a ton. Because we're having to deal with baby boomers, we're dealing with Generation X, and then we're dealing with millennials. So we're all meshing there, and I have to say, this is one of the most challenging time in my Christian walk with God. It's how do I mesh all of these, you know, different generations? You know, but I want to just to take a few moments for us to look at all the different generations. And it's not good or bad. This is how they just operate. Okay? So we're going to take our time just to look at a few things about each generation. Baby boomers. They are community involvement. They think globally, community. They think in terms of community rather than individual. They're very idealistic, you know, freedom from status quo. We get the hippies and the women's lib, baby boomer. They also have strong work ethics. You know, they want something. If you want something, you need to work hard to get it. They're competitive. They're competitive. A lot of competition is in their mind, not so much outside. They're competing in their mind. Resourceful. You know, they have to find resource to help them because a lot of their parents came out of the Great Depression. And so they have to be resourceful. And then they're disciplined. They want to be on time. They want to get their work done. They're saving money. They want to save money. They don't believe, a lot of times they don't believe in credit cards. They want to pay everything in cash. And then at the end, they just have, and compared to these generations, they have more stable marriages, you know, when compared. Generation X, they want feedbacks, and they want to give feedbacks. They want to tell you what they feel. They want you to tell them too. And then they're also autonomous. They want freedom. They want freedom to choose. And sometimes they choose, you know, way out where it's unsafe, like debt and relationships. They choose. They make bad decisions. And then they have less stable marriages and high rates of divorce. You know, high single-parent household. And, you know, with mom and dad having to work, causing a decrease in children interaction. Generation X. They're free agents. You know, they're low on loyalty. You know, if this job is going well, I'm going to jump to the next job. I got my resume out in different places. I'm not loyal. A lot of the baby boomers are loyal to their employer for a many long, long time. Generation X is, let me find out what's the best for me and my family. Comfortable with authority but not impressed with title. What have you done for me lately? Generation X. That's how we think. What have you done for me lately? And then here we go to the millennial, Generation Y. Now, like I said, it's not good or bad. It's just how they operate. Okay? You get that? Generation Y, millennial, it's all about experience. It's experiencing things. If they go to a place where they have a great experience, they're more likely to come back. If they come and it's boring or it's not fun, chances are they're not going to come back. So they want to experience a lot of things. You know, self-expression is very important to them. You know, they view their work as expression of themselves and not as a definition of themselves. It's an extension of them. You know, they don't like to be bored. You know, and so they turn to gaming. And they turn to shopping. And they turn to, eating out. That's why they have no money. They're eating out. And they view correction negatively. You know, when you try to correct them, they feel like, you know, it's a bad thing, or they feel inadequate. Correction. And then they have difficult handling hard things. They will avoid situation. They will avoid people just to avoid the hard things that they have to deal with. You know, they live in a world of pluralism. There's no absolutes. It's okay to be this, and it's okay to be this, and it's okay to be this. You know, they live in a world where there's no absolutes. And they have challenging relationships. You know, it's hard for them to be vulnerable. They're very insecure, but they pretend to know it all. You know, they're very insecure, but at the end, they're like, I think I know it all. Relationship. They're, you know, fast information with media. You think of Facebook and texting and Instagram and Twitter and Google. You know, they would go to Google spiritual advice. You know, so like they're slow in connecting with human relationship. And, you know, and it's hard for them to talk to older people, mature people. You know, I think a lot of times they don't know how to do that because they have never been taught how to do that. And so they would fish around to see what you think, see how you feel about things before they really open up. You know, I can go on, but I think we need to understand the generation. We need not only understand, but we got to accept one another. You know, let me talk to the parents here real quick. You know, you need some time to understand your generation and the generation of your children if you are to make an impact. You know, as you can tell, I'm not from this country. I'm, believe it or not, I'm from a little country called Laos in Southeast Asia. Okay, so, you know, we came over to the United States, when I was 8. And imagine yourself coming from the jungle of Laos to Chicago O'Hare. You know, you step off the plane. My mom wouldn't let us get into the elevator because she thought it was satanic. Because you push a button, you're in a different place. And you push a button, you're in a different place. And so an escalator, she was like, don't get on that escalator. We'll take the stairs, you know. So we get to the United States, and it was Halloween. It's the day before Halloween. And so they next morning they got up, they came, and they dressed up. And we're like, what is going on? This is how Americans dress up? Like, so they put on masks and everything, and they got us a little bag. And so we went trick-or-treating. We went through the door and go, ding, ding, trick-or-treat. And they would throw candy in there. So they threw money, too. It was great. They threw stuff. They're like, this is, I'm going to love America. This is the best place on earth. As an 8-year-old, man, my goodness, we hit the jackpot, you know. We were loving life. So, but the next morning, we decided, hey, let's do it again. This is awesome. America is awesome. So we put on our masks and we got our bags, you know, and went to the door and like, ding, ding, and trick or treat. He says, get out of here. Like, that must be a bad guy. Let's go to the next door. So we go to the next door and go, ding, ding, trick or treat. He's like, get out of here. We're like, man, what is wrong with this? You know, I think a lot of us are still trick-or-treating when Halloween's long gone. We're not even on the bus anymore. The bus has left the station with our kids. And we're sitting at the terminal thinking, when is this bus going to get here? I think you got to keep up. You got to keep up with the children. You got to be involved. You got to be intentional. You got to be in their world to know how they feel, to know how they think. Don't trick or treat when Halloween is gone anymore. I think we all must fight to understand and accept each generation. Don't just yell across to the gap and say, come over here. You need to go connect with them. We have to make an impact. You know, it starts by saying, I love you. With each other. With our kids. Say, I love you. I appreciate you. You are so smart. You can make it. I believe in you. I'm so proud of you. I can't imagine living without you. You know, we go to places sometimes and we see this. This is a maze. And so my younger daughter, she's really good at maze. But you know, the thing that she does is she starts from the middle and finds her way back out. That's easier. It's clearer. And I think sometimes we got to make sure that heaven is in the middle. That's where we're going. You got to work your way back from heaven so that you know where you're going. Sometimes we're going the other way and we're like, which way do we go? Do we turn right or do we turn left? Because we don't know where we're going. But if you start with heaven in the middle, you know exactly where you're going to go. Now the real question is, what is at the end of your maze? Is it popularity? Is it money? Is it being successful? Is it being a pro athlete? I think those things are great. But is it in the middle of your maze? Is that where you're going? You know, I really want my kids to be successful. But I'd rather them make minimum wage and get to heaven than being CEO of a company and not make it. What's the point? What's the point if you do all these things and not make it to heaven? I want my kids to, I know they're not going to make minimum wage, but if they do and they get to heaven, that's it. That's what I want. You know, our household, we talk a lot about heaven. We talk a lot about where we're going, that maze. You know, I remember the other, you know, a couple of weeks ago, sitting at Zaxby. You know, I hope they have Zaxby's in heaven. I love Zaxby's. But we're sitting at Zaxby's, and we're talking about kidneys. Somehow we got into a subject of kidneys. And I'm telling them, you know, everybody has two kidneys. And they're like, what? Why did everybody have two kidneys for, you know? And I said, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe God, you know, wants you to give it away sometime. And we're talking about people who have had kidney transplant. And you know, it might, you know, if it matches, you know, they give kidneys away. And they're lying for that. And so one of my daughters looks at me like, Daddy, I'm not going to give you mine. Like, what do you mean? I'm just not going to give it to you. Like, what if I need it? What do you mean? Don't you love me? I might need a kidney one day. And you might, you know. She's like, nope, I'm not giving it to you. So I'm like, okay, so what? Why? She said, Daddy, because I know you. You don't want to stay here any longer than you have to. I'm like, okay. I get it. Like, I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back, but you know, those are the conversations we need to have with our kids. Talk about heaven. It is real. It is there. Just like the stars in the morning, you don't see them anymore, but they're still there. Heaven is there. We got to make sure we talk to our kids and to each other about where we're going. Understand the generational. You know, we must fight to understand each generation so that we can act to encourage and inspire each other towards God. You know, our fellowship should be rich, you know, because we have so many generations, you know, represented here. Take advantage of it. You're missing out if you're just so fixated on all the negative things. younger generation, you need to reach back. Learn. Sit at the feet of those who have gone before you. Don't repeat their mistakes. Older generation, mature generation, you need to reach forward. Stop complaining. Get busy helping those young men and women to get closer to God. They need you. All generation, we need to reach upward, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to reach upward towards God. You know, it's all worth it. A thriving and vibrant multicultural generational church is possible if you are connected to God first. And then second, we need to, as we fight to understand and accept each generation so we can know how to encourage and inspire one another. Our goal is to make it heaven. That's my goal. I don't know about your goal, but that's my goal. I want to see Jesus' face one day. And I hope that's your goal too. Let's fight to have godly generation. Put the power, you know, God puts the power of love in relationship. You know, Satan wants to divide. We must not give in. We must not give up. Let's have a godly generation. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Hi. There you go.
If there's anything you got from that message, it's how to charge your phone. I've apparently been doing it wrong this whole time. Makes sense why it keeps dying on me. Quick announcement. We have a sister visiting from Jacksonville, Florida, Brittany Harris. If you could stand and wave and say hey. And Brittany Harris. Hey, there we go. Awesome. There were so many points in that message. It's really hard to try and come up here and sum it up. You know, it was interesting hearing that because, you know, recently I sat down with John and, you know, we really got to know each other. We shared our history. I shared mine. And I just felt like we've got so much more connected. Just our relationship just bonded so much more. And that just shows how important it really is for us to get together with each other, old and young, you know. And looking at that, hey, you decide if you're old or not. I never said an age limit. Come on, man. But it was interesting looking at with the millennials and the generations, and you know, it was cool because I was definitely more millennial, but I could see the impact of my parents and teachers and coaches and members of this church and John. I could see qualities that I must have picked up from them and the other stuff, and that was incredible. And I love what he said too about, you know, don't share your faith, get to know God first, and you will. You know, I found actually this week, this Thursday, we had our first Bible talk on campus. And I was in a study with a guy who's studying, and I think I just connecting with God, looking through Scripture first, and then going out and sharing, I think that was the best time I had sharing on campus. I mean, people, I just felt connected with people. I just felt like I just wanted to tell people about Jesus. I didn't necessarily just care to just talk about random stuff. You know, I wanted to get to know them, but really connect and be like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, you know, and come out. Let's get to the Bible. And whether you choose to follow through with it or not, just please let me share something with you. And it really worked. It really did. So thank you for that. And that's something John's been pressing on our hearts. And just want to, you know, one more round of applause for John. He and Meemaw are amazing. Doing such a great job with us. We are sometimes a pathetic excuse for disciples, but they do a good job with us. And round of applause for campus, sisters and brothers. I want to point out one sister who came just this summer and has left such an impact. We had a good dinner for her last night. She's incredible. She's going back to Boston. And when she comes back, I cannot wait during Christmas time and then next summer. Destiny, if you would please wave your hand. Alrighty. All right, I probably talked too much, so let's pray and sing the song, and then we'll be dismissed. All right. Father God, thank you so much for this incredible day, this incredible time, Father. I don't even want it to end. I just want to stay up here on stage singing my brothers and sisters. I just want the worship set to just continue over and over again, and the message just keep going, and it's so incredible. And just thank you so much for this time that we have to do this, Father. Thank you so much for this day of rest you built in for us, Father. This thing called church, this body of Christ that we have to just get connected with you, Father. The only way to you is through Christ. Thank you so much for that truth and just for your Son saving us, Father. Thank you so much for that. And I just pray that everybody here will get home as safely as they arrived, that they will have an amazing week, that we will seek God first wholeheartedly. Father, I pray that that just becomes true in us, and that we can just not, you know, as John was saying, feel like, well, I'm in the sin already. I guess it's okay to go a little further. That we say, no, let's stop. Let's repent. Let's turn away from this. Let's just look to you, God. Let's look to heaven. Have heaven at the center of our hearts, and the center of our lives, Father. And thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.